The following interview was recorded at the National Youth At-Risk Conference in Savannah, Georgia. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Sound Bombing. I created this show for people who want to experience a radical, life-changing journey through the sounds of my diverse guests. I hope that each sound you hear on this show will strengthen your faith, encourage your dreams, and challenge you to awaken the greatness within you.
Drop the bomb.
We're gonna drop the bomb.
This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new values, and a new experience.
Lamar Darnell Shields.
So once again, it's your man, Dr. Lamar Darnell Shields at the National Youth At-Risk Conference. And as I keep telling all of my listeners, I got some of the dopest people in my phone, people that I've been knowing for a very long time that's doing some amazing work. And they are all, many of them are here at this conference right now. And I know many folks decided not to come because of this virus scare that's out there. But there's some of us who are still on the front lines doing this work. And this brother who's sitting across from me, you know, at another space and time, I would have probably been his classmate. But I think his grades was much better. He got into Morehouse. I did not get into Morehouse. Don't judge me. But I made a commitment and said that my son, Mosiah Sekou, who is 12, would go to Morehouse because that's the only school I'm paying tuition for.
Absolutely.
But I met this brother Hotep years ago, a phenomenal facilitator. We've shared the stage, microphone together. We've shared a lot of space. I'm proud to call him a brother. He is a new father, and this brother is glowing. I've seen him glow when he's on that microphone. But being a father, I think that title has taken it to a whole nother level. And I love and respect the work that he's doing. He's the founder of Hustle University. The brother has roots like I have roots. He got NY roots, but by now living and spending his time in the South, but travels all over. I'd like to welcome my brother Hotep to the Sound Bombing Show. What's happening, brother?
Oh, man, it's an honor and a pleasure to be here with you, Lamar.
I can't believe I got this brother to sit still for a minute. I'm looking at him. He's looking around because I know he got to think about what the next
thing.
Man, first of all, how does it feel, one, being back this year, 2020, National Youth At-Risk Conference?
It's always an honor and a pleasure to be here at this conference. You know, just like you said, being here is like a family reunion, a homecoming for us. So to see you, Keith, and the rest of the fam is just always a blessing. To see you guys growing, you know, checking in with the families and business and all those different things. You know, I'm just humbled and honored to be here, man.
Now let me tell you what's so funny. Now, Hotep and I, in my opinion, don't look anything alike at all. He a handsome brother. I'm handsome. I'm taking that. So I'm walking down the hall with this woman. I'm not going to describe what the woman looked like, but she didn't look like either one of us. And we walk in and we go into our room. She said, "Oh, Hotep, it's so great to see you." She said, "You know, you cut your hair." Now, first of all, Hotep, how tall are you, man?
I'm 6'2".
Did you hear 6'2"? On a good day, I'm 5'9". The brother almost looked like Maxwell, got a little gray there going on. Slim Bill, always rocking his brand. Handsome brother, but we don't look anything alike. That's person number one. Person number two, the same thing. "Oh, Hotep, I came to your session last year." I'm like, "Okay, did you?" But I'm not Hotep. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad. I'm glad you ain't hurt. I'm glad you ain't nobody out to get you, brother. Hey. Because they would have taken me out twice, man. So let's talk about you and your work. Every time I look up, be it an email, I look up, somebody's talking about you. Your company is expanding and growing. Before we get into the work, let's talk about you as a teacher, man. What people may not know about you, tell them what you used to teach, man.
All right, so I used to teach elementary school. I taught actually 15 years. Half of that time was teaching fifth grade, but the other half was teaching kindergarten.
Kindergarten, 6'2", kindergarten teacher. Talk to me about teaching kindergarten. What was that like, man?
Teaching kindergarten was my favorite part of, favorite time of being a teacher. You know, like they said with Frederick Douglass, like Frederick Douglass once said, you know, it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. You know, seeing that at that level is really powerful for me. It was being a kindergarten teacher that really made me become a better man, because it was that experience that helped me see how much of an influence I am on other people. You know what I'm saying? How much other people are watching me, particularly those children at that age. For example, you know, I used to have a habit of wearing a pencil behind my ear, right? So I'm in the classroom teaching with a pencil behind my ear. Mondays I teach, Tuesday I teach, Wednesday, Thursday. By Friday come around, half the class got pencils behind their ear, and I'm just, you know, having to redirect kids. Hey, get your pencil or the crayon or whatever from behind your ear. And I just realized, wow, you know, that's happening because I lead by example, for better or for worse. And that's when I learned that all of us are leaders. Leadership is inherent amongst all of us. We're all leaders, and the question is, in which direction are we leading people? Because we all lead through our example, and that's the first experience I had in doing so. And so as a result of that, I became a lot more cautious and careful about how I present myself in public.
So it's kindergarten teacher, yeah. Pencil behind the ear, man. Yeah. What's one of the greatest lessons that you learned from teaching one of those kindergarten class, like a student, a parent? You know, what's something that you remember from those years?
You know, I always use this as an example. I had a young man. We were working on sentences, right? And a young man wrote a beautiful sentence, had a period at the end, had a, you know, capital letter. Any kindergarten teachers that hear that, they're like, oh my God, what? A period and a capital letter? You know what I'm saying? And so he had an amazing sentence, and his artwork was beautiful to go along with it. He even was able to label his artwork. So he gave me A+ work. But the sentence said, 50 Cent is a pimp, and his crew is a pimp too.
Wow.
And it was just a very interesting experience to see this young man's work. So, I mean, his work was phenomenal, but he decided to write this thing. And he had there was not a second thought for him to turn that work into his teacher. And in the drawing was three, obviously, African-American men, because he colored them, mm-hmm. You know, very dark brown like you and I. But the woman in the picture was a white girl, right? And so it was just interesting to see how this young man at the time, well, young boy, you know what I'm saying, at this time, took what he was being surrounded with or being exposed to and decided to write a sentence about it. And I wonder, I use that as a point to share with other educators to think about how children see themselves, see them as teachers, and the things that children are exposed to, you know. One day I'm going to start doing presentations, utilizing that as a case study.
That particular story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So now what's interesting, in the wrong hands, another teacher, that could have gone in a totally different direction.
Oh, yeah.
For those folks that are listening out there who, when kids are writing or when teachers sort of present some material in the wrong hands, I think it can go in a different direction. And it's interesting. I'm so glad that you're sharing your early parts because, you know, quite often with the people that I bring on this show, we talk about what they're currently doing. But I think the things that we did prior to that sort of prepared us for the work that we're doing. We're going to talk about Hustle University, mm-hmm. but let's talk about you, Hotep, as a young man. How did you begin to do this work, and why is this work that you're doing so important? Something in your life that really inspired that, a spark or anything like that, or an individual that you might have met at a young age?
You know, for me, my journey is, I describe it as the journey of a person who can never find a way. And had to learn how to make a way.
Which is your tagline.
That's right. You know, because as a young man, for whatever reason, I'm the type person that people don't want to give anything to. As much as I would ask for help or ask for assistance in any kind of way, financial or otherwise, I think people assume that I got it all together. Even when I used to ask for a mentor, hey, would you be my mentor? Oh, Hotep, you're okay, would be the response, a common response. So for
whatever reason, why do you think that's so, though?
I don't know. Maybe it's the way I look. Maybe it's the hair. You know, I do have a hard edge, you know, kind of. But either that or people view me as an already successful person and someone that doesn't need anything, you know. So in my journey, you know, that kind of response, I've always had to try and figure things out on my own. And I think that God knew what he was doing, you know, because that experience caused me to, one, figure things out for myself, and then put me in a position where I can teach other people how to, you know, do things and make a way for themselves. If I took it back even further, earlier in my experience as a younger man, It was really my parents, the combination of my father and my mother. My father, who was someone who would expose us to different religions and cultures, you know, Asian culture, of course, African culture, and different, you know, I think I said religions as well. But he was more on the theory side of things. My mother was a practitioner of things. So my father would teach us lessons on Sunday. He would teach us the theory. And then my mother would come around and say, okay, let me show you how to take that theory and apply it into what you're, you know, into your current life and situation. And then the last thing, if I take it even further back to me as a baby, my parents were very intentional about how they named myself and my brothers. And they knew that giving a person a name is like giving a person a sense of definition. And it is because of all these things combined that pretty much I am who I am today.
You know, it's interesting. So my story is somewhat similar, but not the parent piece, you know, being a parent now and making the choice to give our children very, very strong names. You know, names that have meanings, names that we want them to sort of live up to. I think that has a lot of value. So you learn those lessons through your mom and your dad, and you also learn some lessons just sort of growing up. Now let's talk about sort of where Hotep is right now. Mm-hmm. You've created this company, Hustle University. I must admit, when I first started, I'm like, where is that school? Because I want to go to. It's like Hillman. Like, we thought Hillman was like a real place. Mm-hmm. Like you want to go. Like, listen, when I graduate from high school, I'm going to Hillman. I remember my girl who's from New York, New Yorker like you, and she went down. She tells a story about. Dr. Cleela Harris tells a story about going downstairs to the counselor's office in New York City public schools, and all the girls were down, and they were naming the schools. One mm-hmm. girl said, I'm going to Spelman. One girl said, I'm going to this or that, the other. And they said, where are you going? She said, well, I'm going to Hillman. And the girl was like, well, you know Hillman is not real. She said, no, Hillman, you know, Hillman is real. You know, she said, well, you know it's not. Then she said she had to pretend like to play it off because her mom, she didn't come from a household where the parents really explained to her that this mythical TV show is like real. But when I met you and I saw Hustle University, I'm like, yo, that's a school. I had enough degree. I'm like, but I don't need no more student loans. I don't need to. Is this a real? He said, well, no, brother, it's not really a university where you actually go to. Talk about the name of Hustle University, and then talk to me about how important your brand is. Because one thing I noticed about you, you're brand sensitive, man. When we were going to be doing some things together, we're talking, my logo needs to go here. And I thought you just some anal dude, but I realized like, no. I learned that from you. Like, I need to be doing the same thing. Mm. So talk about the name, the brand, so the way you are going with this.
I appreciate that. You know, and I always appreciate the opportunity to talk about Hustle University. Obviously, it's very near and dear to me. You know, Hustle University started off as an entrepreneur development company based off of the 10 principles known as the Hustler's 10 Commandments, which is the first book that I had written.
So, you know, I got to stop there, man. Yeah. Is there a connection between the Hustle 10 Commandments? You know, the biggie
nah,
commandments,
nah,
man.
No relationship.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, we're going to keep it moving. Mm-hmm. Google that. We ain't got time for that. Go ahead.
So, you know, the success of the Hustler's 10 Commandments really took me by surprise and provided me the opportunity and a platform to start discussing mindset shifting ideas, you know, that hustler's mindset. But then ultimately, because I'm a former teacher, how can I apply that information, that kind of mindset shifting information into schools. So I built Hustle University as a way to train entrepreneurs, but then also politic that into building an educational consulting firm. And so to this day, I don't do much work with entrepreneurs anymore. I spend most of my time working with schools. The consulting side of business is what really took off for me. But I'd like to say that Hustle University is a self-help organization. So we're in business to help people help themselves. We're a self-help organization to help people help themselves through education, entrepreneurship, and leadership. I'm very sensitive and passionate about entrepreneurship because I believe entrepreneurship is the key to freedom for all people. In short, it's either ownership or it's slaveship. And I want to leave people with that idea as they move forward in their lives, the concept and idea that it's in this world, on any and every scale, it's either ownership or it's slaveship. And we have the opportunity to decide which ship we're going to ride on. I decided that I'm riding on that ownership. And I'm finding creative ways to continue in that path and helping people move from, you know, transition from one ship to the other.
So why do you think people get stuck in the slave ship mentality? I want to give you an example. I want you to answer that. But I remember teaching a class to a bunch of young people. Yeah. And I would say to them, Hotep, would you rather own the mall or Foot Locker? Mm-hmm. And you know what the kids say, oh man, I want to own Foot Locker. Jordan, I said, so when the mall is closed, you know, I still get my rent. When the mall is closed, you still have to pay the rent. So why do you think, now I'm not even going to say young people, why do you think people have that mentality that they don't want to own stuff? Because I'm the same way when it comes to curriculum, when it comes to rent. I'm like, I'm owning my stuff. You know, Ray Charles was a person who did that people look at, said it'll never be done again. Master P, a great example.
He's on tour
right now with his son, Romeo, talking about ownership. Why are people more concerned about the slave ship piece and not the ownership?
And, you know, there's a lot of different reasons for that. You know, traditionally, being black in America, we at one point we were steered away from ownership. Today, it's a lot more of a conversation that we have. But I think with the smoke and mirrors, people just like the glitz and the glamour of the slave ship. You know, we present in America the slave ship as something that's more attractive than ownership. So to your point about the example with Foot Locker in the mall, Foot Locker is sexy. Owning a mall ain't sexy, right? Being an athlete, an all-star athlete, is sexy. Being the owner of the team, no one knows the owner of the team, right? So we highlight the slave in this country. We highlight the slave and make that look sexy. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, you got people that own it that are laughing. They're laughing all the way to the bank, right? That's one. And then two, for those of us that even attempt it, there's accountability and responsibility that goes along with it. There's a cost to be the boss. And a lot of people just do not want to be responsible to that extent, to that level. And so they choose slave ship for that reason, so they don't have to take on the responsibilities of ownership, you see. So those are a couple reasons that I would say.
So let's talk about the services that your organization, the Make-A-Way Foundation, right, Hustle University, share with our listeners some of the services that you provide. Now, I've seen you present, man, here in other cities and other states. I got a chance to sit in with you, promote your stuff. You've done the same thing. So I love the fact that we have that support. To see you walk in my session, give me a head nod. I know your schedule is busy. I attempt to do the same thing, and also pushing people that way. If you know, what are some services that you all offer, and what should a person expect when they come into a room where you are the speaker and you got that microphone? What should they expect from you, brother?
So with our Make-A-Way consulting firm, we like to say that relevancy is our specialty. So there's other consulting firms, there's other people that have socio-emotional curriculum and do the type of work we do, but relevancy is our specialty. That's the area in which we come, where we excel. The other area that we excel in is providing a pragmatic and practical approach to education. Because I'm an entrepreneur and I think like that, I'm focused on efficiency and effectiveness. Effective meaning things that work, and efficient to the extent that they work in the shortest amount of time with the least amount of effort. So as a consulting firm, we provide a wraparound service to schools. We work with administrators to help them with the strategic planning and the school improvement plans. We provide professional development to educators to help them manage their classrooms better, build better relationships, and teach in a relevant manner. We provide services to students to keep them engaged, motivated, and excited about education, and also help them become more resilient, as they say. And then we also provide services to parents, parent workshops, parent engagement, programs as well. And amidst all of that, we also offer a highly engaging social-emotional learning curriculum that schools purchase and buy into. I'm very excited to say that we've just been established and certified as an evidence-based program by the smart people and researchers over at UNLV.
That's a big deal.
That's
congratulations.
That's a huge deal. You know that. And so the fact that now we've been doing well before, and you know, we've been working in schools all around the country before, but now being certified as evidence-based is going to take things to a whole nother level. You know, so
walk into your room.
Oh yeah, the workshop.
I see your name on the marquee. Yeah. What should they expect when they walk into your space, and then what should they leave out with?
They should expect me to keep it 100 with them at all times. They should expect a conversation that oftentimes makes people uncomfortable, because I'm happy with that, to make people uncomfortable. They should they're going to experience a little disruption in what they thought they knew, and they're going to leave with practical strategies to succeed in whatever position that they have. And that's what we do at Hustle University.
So what are you excited about right now about Hustle University?
Man, I'm excited about seeing you, Lamar. I'm excited about seeing you. Now, the evidence-based certification is major for us. The other thing that I'm excited about is the fact that we're going to be doing a lot more international work. So we have, looking at the islands, and the Caribbean islands, we're doing more work there. And also in Europe, we have something building in Holland. And that's just the start.
When Latin America calls, brother, let me know.
Yes, sir.
Let me know. Yes, and not just for the pretty women and the dancing either, man. I want to be in those schools working with you, man.
Yes.
Let's talk about some early pitfalls, man. We got these people that are listening to our show who want to sort of step out on faith and start their own business. Mm. What are some early lessons? I love the fact that you have this education degree and then you merge it with this MBA. You have this other degree. How are they working together? What are some early pitfalls that you've learned that you want to share with individuals so they don't make those same mistakes?
Early pitfalls. I think I don't even know if it was a pitfall. I say an early lesson at the very least.
Good choice.
Man. Was, thinking that I knew what my audience was going to be. I realized that our target audience. All right. So one piece of advice I want to give to all upcoming entrepreneurs is to be open, observant, and obedient. To always be open, observant, and obedient. Open to opportunities, observant for the signs, and obedient to the directions that are given by the Creator. Meaning that it's one thing to have a plan, but you also have to be humble enough to remember that the Creator has the master plan. What that means is sometimes you might set out in a direction with an intention or a goal, and you have to realize that as much as that's something that you said you want, maybe that's not for you. And maybe the trouble and challenges that you're facing are not the devil, but actually God saying, no, son, no, daughter, stop going there. Don't go there. So we have to balance that and get out of this whole lie, not lie, but this misunderstanding of never give up, right? Like people misunderstand what that means to never give up. And I find that a lot of people are hitting their wall, constantly hitting the wall and wondering, and say, I'm not going to give up. But they're hitting the wall each and every time. Maybe that wall is there by your Creator to say, stop, change direction. You may still have the goal, but take a different route to get there. So with that being said, the example that I have, when I wrote The Hustler's Ten Commandments, I thought that my audience was going to be just other entrepreneurs, urban entrepreneurs, meaning what? In short, other black people and Latino people in the streets, in urban communities. I wrote it for adults. I had an experience that changed my life with a teenage young man who didn't fit the description of who I wrote the book for. And it's through that experience and being open, observant, and obedient that I realized that there was a whole other market of people, whole other markets of people that would be interested in this book that I had written. And had I not been open, observant, and obedient, I would still be there trying to sell this one book to those same people. And the reason why Hustle University has the Makeaway Consulting firm today is because of me being open, observant, and obedient.
I am so glad that you mentioned that, because I kind of had an idea, because I've been knowing you for some time, of where you want to go with that. So you notice I have a new company, Cambio, which means change in Spanish. You knew me when I was with the Urban Leadership Institute. Mm-hmm. And so the same way, I felt that there was an audience. When you talk about urban, we know how politics plays games with the word urban. We talk about black and brown people.
Right, right.
And so I was looking at my audience looked like me. Mm. But Hotep, when I walk into these buildings, they didn't look like me. Mm. And they were just as hungry,
yes,
as all the other people.
Yes.
So to hear you say as an entrepreneur, we are unapologetically African people.
Absolutely.
I know that about you. We're going to always. I did a session where I had them do a moment of silence in honor of Malcolm X, brother, last week. So I take it wherever I go to let people know that's how I am. And it ain't about keeping it real. It's about being who I am, being authentic.
Absolutely.
So to hear you say that there was an audience I was going after, And you would have limited yourself, man. You would
yes.
have, and
yes.
again, there are people that need to hear our stories.
Absolutely.
They need to hear our experiences.
Yes.
There's this shirt that people are rocking that says they want my rhythm but not my blues.
Mm.
And so we got to give it to them, man. We got to let them know that this is where we've come from. You and I, in many places, we're an anomaly, man. We get into places that our boys, our girls can't get in.
Absolutely.
And because it's not about playing the game, because when once we get in there, we know the rules are going to change.
Yes.
And so to hear you say that says a lot about your growth as an entrepreneur and as a man. But I wanted people to hear that because I think these entrepreneurs that are coming out, they put themselves in a box. Mm. They put themselves in a box. You know, I love Damon Jones, and I love Shark Tank, and I watch these shows. I watch how he navigates through the system, being the only male of color. I look at all these other individuals, and sometimes when you're the first, it is hard, man.
Yes,
you're
sir.
The first, but you're creating a major path. All right, so Hotep, you mentioned the 10 Hustler Commandments. Mm-hmm. You got to give those to our listeners.
All right, Hustler's Commandment number one, your network is your net worth. Understanding that the greatest asset is not money, but people. Commandment number two, image is everything. The way you dress, as Keith will say, is the way you'll be addressed. Number three, the early bird gets the worm. You already know that one. To be on time is really to be late. Commandment number four, it's lonely at the top. So all you high achievers, if you're doing well in school, you remember that it always is lonely at the top. So keep hustling. Number five, success is where opportunity meets preparation. So always be prepared for when opportunity presents itself, because it's all around you. Commandment number six, business is personal. People do business with people they like. If they like you, they want to give you their money. If they don't like you, they don't want to give you nothing. Commandment number seven, everything is negotiable. Everything. If a man made it, a man can change it. Commandment number eight, it's not what you know. It's not really even who you know. It's who knows you. So keep your reputation intact. Commandment number nine, it takes dough to make bread. It takes energy to accomplish your goals. It takes money to make money. Sometimes it's not your money, but it takes dough to make bread. And commandment number 10, always know and believe in yourself.
There you have it. How can our listeners get in contact with you?
For anyone interested in Hustle University or myself, they can find us our website, hustleuniversity.org, and on any of the social media platforms at Hustle University. Look for the gold emblem, the gold logo, and that's us.
All right, brother, I appreciate you.
My man.
I know you got a session tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate the work that you're doing. I'm telling you, check out Hotep. I'm not just saying it because this is my guy. Check out all the work he's doing, from the videos to his website to his book series, new book series. He and his boy Reg. What's the new book that you guys do? The cartoon?
The Hustle Brothers.
The Hustle Brothers.
Oh, yeah, and they can find this. They can go, if anyone that has an Android phone or tablet can go to the Google Play Store and find the Hustle Brothers video games. We got a whole series of video games.
This dude is doing it. Well, I appreciate you. Appreciate always pouring into me and vice versa, man. It's been amazing to watch you grow.
Thank you.
I'm a reflection of you and vice versa. So
obviously,
I'm expecting big things for the next year, man. Appreciate it, brother.
My
Take
man.
Care, man.
All right.
Peace. We're out of here.
Peace.